Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Just a kiss. Touch was just a touch. Love just wasn't enough to fix this heart that's broken, to ease the lies you're towing you a gun. I tried urgently to prove I did. Tales, notions of swelling, unending love, and I've been urgently seeking love and seeking focus. Focus.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. You're now on Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry, and that was Lamont, a.k.a. Rashad Davis, with his newest single, Focus. You heard him say just now as we faded out, focus on me. I think we're going to start this break with a story that requires focus. Mr. Newry?
I just like that song.
I mean, it's a beautiful Bahamian, a beautiful song by a Bahamian.
I didn't know it was a Bahamian. I mean, I could have let that play continuously so the Bahamian audience can hear it and appreciate it. I appreciate you letting me hear it, and you're the one who's been pushing these Bohemian songs of late, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, man. I mean, I thought the message in the song was apropos for the moment. It's appropriate for the perfect for the moment. Focus.
Yes.
Focus on me.
I just want to ask you now.
Yes.
Because this is Guardian Radio AM. This is going to be an open line.
Yeah.
But we have a number of topics that we want to discuss, and one of these discussions I want to have is: are you ready? Mm-hmm. Are you ready, Aaron, for an early election? And I may be prodding you, baiting you to respond to that, right? Because mm-hmm. you said, man, that's not going to be an early election. Why should there be an early election?
What did I say? Because these boys need to what?
Retire.
Focus.
However, the PLP said they're ready for battle. There's a battle they're bracing for. And I'm trying to understand and appreciate the word battle. What do they mean by battle? What does battle mean? And why is the PLP saying they're ready for a battle? That word is...
They're going to Haiti. Are they going to join the five Defense Force officers that go into Haiti?
That's administrative. That's administrative. That ain't a real battle. This say they're ready for it, but they expect a battle. I'm not sure if that's comforting words that they expect a battle, but I acknowledge the word. And I want us to read that article, and I want to find out exactly what is the PLP doing to us, we, the Bahamian public, by these utterances.
PLP ready for battle is the headline. So I looked up the definition of battle, like mm-hmm. you asked. Noun, a sustained fight between large organized armed forces. Verb, struggle tenaciously to achieve or resist something.
Aaron, I didn't anticipate that the PLP was going to have a battle.
Why not?
I thought it's going to be a walk in, walk through.
When you say I say war.
See, words have meaning and words are intentional. They chose this word because they know something.
Why would they have war rooms if they weren't getting ready to go to battle?
But some things you just walk in, it's a walk in the pie. But they believe that it's going to be a battle and they're ready for it. And that is what I want to focus on. I did not realize that the PLP was concerned that they had to get all armored up and prepared for a battle.
So what you're saying is, Aaron, before you jump in the water and bite the bait, consider an alternate reading of PLP ready for battle. Perhaps the Prime Minister is like trying to give them a subconscious warning that this ain't no walk in the park.
This ain't no walk in the park.
We ain't just win the election like we did last time.
Yes.
We have to fight for this one.
We got to fight for this one. They enacting the war rooms. They getting the people ready from now because they are preparing for a battle.
What I find interesting is if they are prepared for governance, then they wouldn't have to worry about a battle in politics.
But they believe they're doing a good job.
I mean, they believe that for real.
And if they're doing a good job,
but we still don't know how much Golden Jubilee independence celebrations cost.
We can never know how much the Golden Jubilee
celebration. Of course we will.
Just wash that off, Aaron. Stop asking about that.
What you mean, stop asking about
it? No, I'm serious, man. Real talk. Don't ask for this
I mean, so what you're trying to tell me is that...
Write it off.
That this moment is also, you say, apropos, like, Aaron, can't you see the stars aligning and how authentic this is that for the 50th anniversary of independence celebrations that we'll never know what it costs, and that is the perfect signifier of governance in the Bahamas after 50 years? Because if you're saying that, I agree with you. That's a whole thesis.
I want to know why you're so eager to find out the budget for it. Just leave it alone.
Why am I so eager to find out how much the Golden Jubilee
independence
celebrations
cost? You didn't have
fun? No, I didn't.
That's because you didn't attend any events. I attended a couple of events and I got free bags and free things and I'm cool with it.
See, that's because I didn't know what all was happening and where it was happening because my WhatsApp is not politically exposed.
You need to have a politically exposed WhatsApp. And you would know when they give out free stuff.
I would know. I need a politically exposed WhatsApp so I'll know when state resources are being allocated.
You ask too much questions, man. Just read
the article. Let me read from the article.
I mean, always complaining about the government, man. Let's let it dead, Aaron. We can never know the numbers.
No, they're trying to kill it. You see, why are you asking me to help them? They are actively trying to kill governance in the Bahamas. I ain't helping them.
Okay.
Prime Minister Philip Davis last night directed PLPs to, quote, ready the ship, close quotes, and prepare for the 2026 general election during a rally-style meeting in Mount Moriah in New Providence. Quote, when a hurricane is coming, there are three stages they talk about.
See a hurricane? See the verbiage? These are intentional verbiage, you know. These ain't by chance. This is a written speech.
I am confused because... Like, it's almost as if he's saying we're not doing a good job at governance, so the fight to win the election is going to be difficult. But I'm quite sure that's what he meant to say.
Mm.
When a hurricane is coming, there are three stages they talk about, said Davis at the regional PLP meeting at C.W. Sawyer Primary School in Yellow Elder Gardens. Quote, they talk about the watch, they talk about the alert, and then the warning. Now this is the watch period. When I come back here... We'll start talking about the alert. Right now, we are talking the watch period. So in the watch period, it's time to ready the ship. I hope you're all watching your ministerial duties. I hope you're watching them 180 unanswered questions. Quote, PLPs, it's time to ready the ship. Get our branches in gear. Every Bahamian who stood with us, ready to go to war for the future of our nation. This year, we're going to make every moment count. You better make it count. Mm-hmm. You may not get any more after this. I'm most troubled, Mr. Newry, by the violent rhetoric that is being perpetuated in politics. I'm most concerned that the Prime Minister, who is faced with a gang and gun crisis so serious that the Bahamas government is writing the U.S. to tell them that they must fix their laws about guns because it's impacting the Bahamas. You in the middle of that type of crisis, but this is the type of language that you're using? You're using gang language. You're using violent language. PLP ready for battle. Where he says, a war, here we go. I want to extend a heartfelt thank you to every PLP and every Bahamian who stood with us ready to go to war for the future of our nation. So they're ready to go to war for the PLP. And the future of our nation. But they're not ready to go to war for all of these big grown adults who, when they heard the Minister of National Security say that seven-year-olds could consent to sex, even though the law doesn't recognize it, that those big crusty men got up and said, hold my beer. Let me go test that theory.
You're going there again, I see. You're going there again.
Oh, you mean back to the point where the Minister of National Security made the most reckless statement in a case, in commentary surrounding a case about a minor who was involved in sexual and a sexual relationship with a big grown adult for an extended period of time, and this honorable boy's response was like, everybody knows 7-year-olds could consent to sex, even though the law doesn't recognize it as consent.
You don't forgive him.
7 years old? Seven?
That's the past.
No, it's not the past.
It's not the past?
No, don't mind the Prime Minister talking about elections as clean slates. Mm. You remember that clip? Mm-hmm. I got to get that clip for climate to play.
I did smile at that too.
What is also troubling is the second headline.
Go ahead.
PM, we must get our branches together. They weren't together. They're not. The constituency offices weren't working this whole time. Or you mean the seven? The, or is it five? Five?
The five seats.
Seven seats.
Yeah.
Two in Nassau. No, five. Two in Nassau, one in Long Island, three in Grand Bahama.
There's two in Grand Bahama. Is it?
Irem, Kwesi, Pintard.
Three. Yeah. And four.
White.
How much in Nassau?
White Cartwright.
Sue Nassau.
White Cartwright.
That's five, that's six.
Gibson, Long Island.
That's six.
There's one more. It was seven, eh? It's one more.
Yeah, seven.
Yeah, seven.
Minutes.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah, we forget about Minutes.
Minutes. What have your branches been doing? So there's seven branches that may be in disrepair, right? There's mm-hmm. seven branches that may not have been functioning actively. But y'all know that y'all don't respect the rules of the Westminster system. Y'all don't remove party affiliation once the constituency office has been established. Y'all don't do that. So why is it that you must get your branches together? What have they been doing? Or are they like the unions? Are they like the unions? They just decided there ain't gonna be no unrest during the 5-year term? That's most troubling. What y'all been doing? I mean, that and the continual insistence on the violent rhetoric.
Some would just say that's political talk. This is how we speak for me. It's like smack talk on the basketball court.
Yeah, some people don't critically interrogate anything and don't see the link between state and politician, state actors and state utterances and the perpetuation of violence in the society. Mm. But if we took our social sciences seriously, and respected our social scientists, then we would be having conversations about the link between the violent rhetoric coming from people in leadership positions and the gang culture operating within agencies and organizations, and make a link to the increased violence on the roads, in communities, in schools, in families. We can't stop crime, we can't stop the violence if it is our prime minister himself who is perpetuating violence through his, not just his insistence on using violent language, but celebrating it as normal language. He himself is normalizing it. Aaron, you need to leave that minor case alone. The Minister of National Security already spoke. Dear Texter, let me rephrase that for you. Dear Bahamian public, y'all need to leave these minors alone because the Minister of National Security misspoke. There, I fixed it for you. Texter. Ms. Green, I agree with you. What was the cost? It may have cost you and I taxes. Well, what I think about is, what are the resources that were unavailable to people, particularly in critical spaces like hospitals and clinics? Could any of the money being used for the independence celebration have been used for medical supplies and resources for people maybe in the family islands? But not just that. There's another issue where surely we are concerned about what's happening with our money. Another text, morning, Aaron Green. I remember coming out the jungle. That's a wild text. I'll have to get back to that later. Oh, I can read that one in silence. Texter, Aaron, in all honesty, are you saying that the PLP for foreign party, oh, that's what y'all is call it, PLP for foreign party, is raging war on us Bahamians for our own country? No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is this, is that violent rhetoric has permeated the political class, the political culture, and every space of governance. And while you may sit here and think it's fair to just throw this label on the PLP, the FNM are complicit, the COI are complicit, the DNA are complicit. Could we talk about COI supporters threatening the prime minister and public service and politicians as they're walking into the house? That video resurfaced recently. We could talk about the Fane Thompson incident with the DNA. We could talk about the Archer Kelly incident in the FNM. We could talk about the PLP convention with the nasty voice note that came out from PLPs saying Shane and Robin trying to pull train on the PLP. This violent rhetoric is not exclusive to the PLP or any one political party or political parties themselves. It is rank within the political class and the political culture.
I always thought the PLP had a comfortable lead. And since we started this conversation about PLP being ready and this word of battle, right, and debating this word battle and what does it mean and was it a appropriate word to use, right, or is it when a feuding slips. I get like 4 or 5 texts now. One is Brave has to be concerned. He's old, tired, and has not introduced one transformative policy and really that really benefits Bohemians since coming into office. Is that a temperament? A part of society that actually feels that way about the PLP and by extension the current prime minister, that they are not happy with the PLP and their efforts, they're not satisfied, and all of this publicity and promo and promotions that the PLP is now known for, because you know wherever the prime minister goes, it's a photographer, right? Mm-hmm. Whatever the PLP does, it's some kind of article.
It's always good. Always a beautiful shot.
Always a beautiful shot. They spend money on that, but there is a large segment of Bohemians who say they looking beyond the fluff and they saying that they not seen anything worth bragging about. And perhaps that is why the prime minister has chose the word they go in for a battle. They preparing and bracing for a battle.
I think there are a growing number of PLPs, supporters and members, who being so close to the center can see that the PR is not aligning with what's actually happening on the ground.
But things happening, though.
What? Tell me what's happening.
We bought a whole bazaar.
So what if you bought a bazaar? What's happening with the bazaar?
We can put African stuff inside there.
To sell to whom?
The Africans have things to sell to the tourists.
Oh, no. Pause right there. I am a Pan-Africanist.
Yeah, that's why I call it.
I'm from Africa, but that's not going to fly.
What do you mean that's not going to fly?
Africans not coming here to sell things to tourists. Africans are coming here to trade with Bahamians so Bahamians could expand their offerings to tourists. So Africans not coming here to sell to tourists.
You just put it in here.
But I mean, pause.
The bazaar. I'm not saying it's bizarre. I say at the bazaar, they plan to sell African stuff.
I forget. You just trying to sell the idea. I don't have to buy it, nor do I have to.
I see the caller keep on calling and hanging up. When you call, we'll pick it up, caller.
Sorry about that. Yeah. Caller, I may face deep inside this text line.
It's bizarre. I didn't say it's bizarre. I just said that we now have African goods to sell. So the tourists have more things to consider.
So let's stick a pin right there. I'm glad that you brought up that example. Remember on Monday we talked about the price comparison portal coming out of the Consumer Protection Commission board,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And in the article, the chair of the commission or the committee indicated that his team had just come back from Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
They were exploring trade opportunities direct with Brazil, with the hopes that cutting out the middleman, aka the US, would reduce the costs on imports by 20%.
Mm-hmm.
There was no mention of the Afri Trade Forum
mm-hmm.
that just took place in that article.
Mm.
That would have been important.
Pick up the line. That would have been important.
Yeah.
Go ahead, caller. Can you hear us?
Good morning, caller.
Morning, Aaron. Good morning, Mr. Nuri.
Bless morning, sir.
Yeah, maybe the branches were on cruise control, but I called on another matter. Because
mm-hmm.
I'm reading inside the other daily this morning, which is the Tribune, which said, help wanted. They cooks. One is for an Asian restaurant, must have 5 years experience in Indian cooking with knowledge of Indian language. Now, I find it a bit insulting. Because, you know, back in the 70s and 80s, they actually used to put ads against the newspaper, you know, to obviously disqualify Bahamans.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe any government who's the custodian of the Bahamian people, they should not allow foreign companies to come here and discriminate against their people. How in the Bahamas you can have persons come and say you must speak the same language other than English or Bahamian English mm-hmm. in order to get a job here? I find it distasteful.
Tell me what page that is on. We go into it right now.
Yeah, I find it distasteful. You know, government needs to do something about that. You know, they should discount that.
Yes, so you're saying it's in today's Tribune?
Yeah, in today's Tribune.
Okay.
You know?
I look into
it. Must speak Indian in order to get a line of job here in the Bahamas.
Must speak Indian.
Come on, give me a break.
Okay. I love Indian food, though. Yeah. So I'm hoping that it's a good Indian restaurant.
All right.
All right, thank you.
Absolutely. I see accountant. Oh, turn down your radio, baby. Mm-hmm. Caller. Accountant wanted, electrified hardware technician wanted, sourcing solutions into. Mm-hmm.
What I found entertaining, if you're looking for jobs, I see that, which restaurant was that? That's Bamboo Shack. It's looking for teachers who on their summer break to come and look for a job at Bamboo Shack.
Isn't that that's fascinating.
It was fascinating.
So Bamboo Shack is saying we understand the dynamic for teachers. They work 9 months roughly out of the year.
And you're 3 months off.
3 months off, but they still need to supplement their salary.
Mm-hmm.
And we're prepared to support teachers by providing part-time employment or temporary employment opportunities for teachers.
Yeah, that was different.
Let me tell you how I would be harassing my teacher mommy or my teacher daddy to go work at Bamboo Shack for the summer.
Bring home some chicken.
Yes.
Bring him. We have another caller there. Yeah. Aaron, let's patch that through. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yeah, good morning. My two favorite talks, your hosts, Aaron Green, C.A. Nuri.
Morning, sir.
Yeah, see, I got a sour orange tree for your seedling. I don't know if you want it. You could let Aaron
take it. Of course I want it.
Until it get big.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, but I just want to get on with Aaron.
Yes, sir.
You know, the thing is, we need something to be implemented whereby, and they run up to elections, politicians don't use the public funds to fund their campaigns and do what they have to do because we see it.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it was just buying a plane to go around and do what they have to do, whatever. I'm not. This is even not directed at any particular organization. But just let me express myself because it can help me, it's my sanity. The PM was correct when he said the fight for our country, right?
Mm-hmm.
In that they want a Haitian, they're Haitianizing to be hit the Bahamas. So I don't know if that's what he means, if they're giving out these citizens, whatever they're doing. But he seems pretty much confident. But we are in a fight for our country for real, but it's on the opposite end. Us, I don't know about them, but you know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. the only prime minister went into a demographic village and said he'll be there for them. I don't know what he means by that. By city of contracts, by social services, et cetera. Whatever they're doing. And then with the migration crisis, right?
Mm-hmm.
I want to expose the hypocrisy of the American government. They tell us to be lenient with Haitians and let them in, but then you have to realize migration unabatedly and undocumentation, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, there's no documentation is room for human trafficking. They cannot be discussed without the other. I said it already before. They interface with one another. So how could you be concerned about human trafficking if you want us to be lenient with Haitian migrants? We don't know who in the country. I live in the inner city. It's basically hardly anyone you see and know anymore. You've seen a bunch of Haitian males running around because you don't know who they are. You're talking about organ harvesting, all these different things. People are saying, we don't know who you just see any of. Just let me get on with something else. But first of all, I want you to get this together, Aaron. They're discussing, you're talking about another pandemic, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, a fair scare tactic now. And so, I don't know if you are. You watched Dr. B, and I had recommended you to watch with the spike protein documentation mm-hmm. still floating around in human bodies 2 years after vaccinations, causing thrombogenic activity. I don't want to get into the molecular BS. But what I'm saying is, I am perplexed and vexed that our Minister of Health is not recommending, elderly people, but anyone who feels as if they might be having an adverse event. Let's say with the situation with Mr. Hubert Ingham, our beloved former prime minister.
Mm-hmm.
That's my old man friend. He used to come by the house. I see him, I know him, he would hail me, but I never had no conversation with him. What I'm saying is, he might have had a vaccination, like many others, and so there is preponderance of evidence that this spike protein is breaching the blood-brain barrier. There are two mechanisms, through the access, the meninges, I mean, yeah. And so what I'm saying is, we don't have any adverse event reporting system. So I am really perplexed as to why the Minister of Health or anybody else, you've taken Dr. Arch of the air, recommending people to go get a D-dimer test. And anyone should know a D-dimer test is just a way to detect for plasminogen to see if you have a blood clot or whatever. But, you know, the body has a mechanism to break down blood clots. But what I'm saying is, obviously, Mr. Ingram had a blood clot, but I don't care what they say. He's a healthy man moving around normal. This is going to happen to a lot of people. And then you would see they came up with this scenario of sudden adult death syndrome post-vaccinations to give reasons for people falling out. You saw the school teachers, the customer officers, different people. Healthy people perfectly healthy people dying in their sleeps abruptly. Mm-hmm. But we can't have an advanced reporting system, but we are following the mandates of the rest, and we can't do the rest. Come on, man, wake up.
Thank you, sir.
It's just unbelievable. Bring on Mr. Mark Palmer. Please, man. Somebody.
Listen, you say that.
Let us get away with that.
Expecting him tomorrow. We could pick that conversation up tomorrow, 52.
52 mentioned human trafficking. I know we had an article recently about the U.S. Embassy making commentary about even though they're pleased with the Bahamas. They were not pleased about human trafficking, something to that effect.
Right.
Do you have that still?
Yeah, failure to probe corruption claim. Also, I found an ad in the paper.
Oh, you did?
I think we could go back to that for a second. Failure to probe corruption claim. The United States said the Bahamas has failed to investigate corruption allegations against immigration officers at the Carmichael Road Detention Center and did not proactively screen for human trafficking among vulnerable communities in 2023. However, the Bahamas remains one of only 30 countries with a Tier 1 ranking in the U.S. Trafficking in Persons report, signifying the country continues to meet minimum standards for eliminating trafficking and that the government demonstrates serious and sustained efforts towards this. The U.S. said the country investigated and prosecuted more suspected traffickers, identified a male victim for the first time, and carried out multiple awareness-raising activities in 2023, including those targeted toward vulnerable, underserved communities. Quote, additionally, close quotes, the U.S. said, quote, the government provided compensation to a repatriated foreign victim, provided detailed and timely investigative data, and drafted an MOU with a foreign country to regulate recruitment practices. The government also, that's interesting, to regulate recruitment practices. I guess that means hiring foreign nationals to recruiting to work locally. Get back to that quote. The government also continued to provide support for foreign victims repatriated abroad and cooperated with foreign countries to assist foreign victims. Nonetheless, the U.S. said, quote, the government did not report any investigations, prosecutions, or convictions of government employees complicit in human trafficking crimes. However, allegations of corruption and official complicity in trafficking crimes remain significant concerns inhibiting law enforcement action during the year. You want me to read that again?
Yeah, because I want to say that our government has been commended. Right, they give a litany of things that we are doing well.
Mm-hmm.
But they are concerned about the prosecution of immigration officers. There'd been one scandal. I remember that time they found one of those Chinese with no documents working at the hotel?
At night.
And they said, how'd they get here?
Yeah.
And they just got, they didn't get detained. No one asked them no question if they're getting trafficked.
I think they were detained.
They were held. They weren't get detained.
That's what detention is.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, here's what the problem is, right?
Go ahead.
You, police officer, you stop me. I ask you what's the reason. You stop me. You faffing about. You ain't quite telling me.
Mm-hmm.
So I say, well, if you don't have a reason to stop me, I could go. And you say, no, you can't go. You're detaining me.
Okay.
And from that point, any prosecution could start for unwarranted detention, unlawful detention.
Mm-hmm.
Just by stopping me there and refusing to tell me why you stopped me, what's the offense you saw me commit or you suspect that I am committing? That's a detention.
I yield with that. My point is, we had a large number of Chinese. We have a.
In fact, issue. No, we don't know because we don't know how many of the. See, that's a part of the issue.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know how many people detained were determined to be without status that point in time.
No one asked a question.
Or if they did, no answers were given to the public.
Mm.
We also had a series of senior officials, government and politicians shuffled almost immediately post the incident.
After criticism of potential corruption or whatever it is. and possible corruption.
Yeah, that was odd because a senior civil servant name, somebody leaked something, and the question of who leaked it has not been answered.
And they got a package. They said, you can't work here no more. You get a package, you get to go home. And this is my concern. I think that the U.S. is referencing here that there was no prosecution of immigration officers whose name was called as they supposed to have interrogated the issue. And that one of those issues is the same, and I could put that word in, Chinese people found, a large number of Chinese people found, but no one investigated whether they were being trafficked into the Bahamas. It just happened to say, hey, we here, we working, but we ain't get no passport to prove who we are. Mm-hmm. And we just say, here y'all go. And he said, what you mean? Did you determine who they were? Why they here? Were they trafficked?
Did you demand that their employer provide proof, provide documentation of nationality, passport, right? Names. Did you demand that the employer or did the employer provide that information? And did you collaborate with the nation, right? The nation state that they're from to ensure that the information the employer is giving you is correct. Right? We just don't know if anything was done. That's a wild one. Now let's continue from the article. The report recommended that the country increase efforts to investigate, prosecute, and convict traffickers. I know a former trafficker. I mean, we all know a former trafficker. It ain't me. It ain't like I have a personal...
How pirates have now changed into be privateers?
Yeah.
Those type of traffickers?
Yeah, we all know...
Who get endorsement from officials?
Like the prime minister?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe he wasn't the prime minister at the time. Maybe he was. The point is, we all know a former person suspected of human trafficking. Back to the article. The report recommended that the country increase efforts to investigate, prosecute, and convict traffickers, identify victims, and refer them to services, particularly underserved stateless people, migrants and asylum seekers from Haiti, Jamaica, and Venezuela, LGBTQI plus individuals and Cuban nationals working on government-sponsored programs. The U.S. recommended the country ensures that finding alternate housing for at-risk, underserved communities, quote, does not create additional vulnerabilities, close quotes. Trains officials surveying existing housing to identify trafficking victims, include Haitian Creole and Spanish-speaking services on the trafficking hotline. I paused because I didn't realize that you all had to say that out loud. So you're telling me there's a trafficking hotline, but there's nobody that speaks Creole, Spanish. They don't speak the official language in the Philippines. I know they speak English and Spanish as well,
and,
right?
And one Pili type thing.
Right, the local standard,
yeah.
The local language.
But they don't traffic Filipinos, though. They just travel here. They come here to work. They get visa.
The most dangerous thing is that we presume that a group of people don't do that.
Yeah.
That's dangerous to presume that. See, smuggling is when you say, hey, I'm trying to go here. Can you help me leave my country and go there?
Mm-hmm.
Trafficking is like, you could be like, hey, I want to go there. I want you to help me leave my country to go there because I got work or I have family and I'm going to make it work. But when you get on the boat, the boy say, listen, here's what's going to happen. You're going to have to wait over here for 5 years before I release you to go see your people. Somebody who's being smuggled could easily become a trafficked person.
Mm.
Yeah, there's a distinction.
Okay, continue.
The U.S. recommended the country ensures that... Oh, we got to that part. Let's get back. Trains officials surveying existing housing to identify trafficking victims. Producer, let's go to the call. Let's get the call ready. Include Haitian Creole and Spanish-speaking services on the trafficking hotline. Include representatives of Haitian and stateless communities in discussions with the National Trafficking in Persons Interministerial Committee and take steps to eliminate recruitment fees. The report recommended providing a dedicated shelter for trafficking victims. In the country's trafficking profile, women said women migrants were particularly at risk as they were well-educated but unaware of trafficking risks. Additionally, the U.S. said migrants displaced by Hurricane Dorian have been trafficking victims or are particularly vulnerable to trafficking. Let's stick a pin and go to the phone line.
Yeah, let's go to the phone lines. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear us?
Yeah, Miss Green. You know, I was prompted again. Just a second here, please.
Go ahead, man.
A very interesting point you made, Miss Green, because I don't want the Haitian migrants to feel like I'm only pointing the fingers at them. You have Indians and Chinese. These are mixed up. These demographics. These are the people with more money. So now the United States know why they issued this particular statement. When you see them issue statements like this, they already have evidence of malfeasance at immigration, you know. The malfeasance is very, very clear. It's lucid. There's no reason for any discussion. There's something needs to be done because this is a matter of national security, but yet still we have an entity that is basically only nominal for me saying that there's national security. Where? How could it exist? It is non-existent. You don't. There's nothing being done. This is pathetic. Bless her.
Blessings, okay. 52.
Let's go to the next caller. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hey, Aaron. Good morning. Good morning, CA.
Good morning.
Also tied to this conversation, we cannot dismiss the mere fact that there's also the possibility of organ harvesting as well. With a lot of these persons who are being trafficked, a lot of these persons who have gone missing, you cannot take that off the table as well. So we all know that both trafficking and organ harvesting apparently is big business on the black market. So we have to put all of this into the mix and realize that the Bahamas basically is one of those locations where this thing potentially, this issue potentially is going on. That it's just that our officials have not been able to uncover how steep it is in this country that it's going on. So we have to put all that in the mix and consider what is our next moves in terms of a country and a government that we are going to do in order to stem both of these things, along with other issues that may be here presently. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. So I just thought of this, Mr. Nuri. Mm-hmm. You remember the song? If you can't find your friends in Nassau,
you're in Freeport or you're in jail.
Yeah. And perhaps this is the premise. This is the construct. This is the ethos upon which all of our searching for missing people, right? This missing people culture. See, because when they say if you can't find your friends in Nassau, they're in Freeport or they're in jail, right? And I thought, yeah, Freeport, sweet. I go hide in Freeport for a little while. But then I realized that maybe they were talking about a drug culture that existed in Freeport, right? If you can't find your friends in Nassau, they're in Freeport or they're in jail. If they're talking about a drug culture that used to exist, maybe still exists, I don't know. I don't know anything about drugs. In Freeport, then this song is basically saying, if you can't find your friends in Nassau, then they up to badness. Mm-hmm. And that jail or Freeport and the presumption that the drugs involved means whatever happened to them is their own fault.
Yeah.
Right? And I don't, you know, right? It just hit me while we're talking about it. We don't take this seriously enough. The U.S. Department has obviously made its assessment.
Yes.
We're not diminishing the work that is taking place, but what I am saying is that there's a whole lot more work that needs to take place and shifting of culture that needs to take place for us to get serious about this thing. Organ harvesting, child sex trafficking, child trafficking.
That's why I'm concerned about a 15-year-old boy being missing.
Right? And in case y'all don't realize, trafficking is not just taking somebody outside of their country. A young person could be trafficked in the could be a victim of sex trafficking in the Bahamas because you're being moved place to place for the purpose of having sex with adults, with other people, with anybody, children, anything, but primarily with adults. Mm. You can't consent at 15. It doesn't matter what the law says. It doesn't matter that you're a big grown boy with hair all over your body and you're saying yes and you're smiling. You don't have the right to consent, which is, see, when we acknowledge that the 15-year-old who's conscious can't do it, then we understand why saying a 7-year-old could do it is so, for my elder people, egregious, and for the young folks, egregious and heinous.
And this is why people should be concerned about the lady who is missing now. But going back to that comment, I have a text. Says, good morning, guys. If someone is reported missing, especially the tourists, shouldn't every conceivable effort be taken to find that person regardless of the individual's gender? Imagine the damage that can result from a tourist product if, God forbid, something untoward happens to this person. I can't believe that people are more concerned about the person's gender than a human being is reported missing under uncertain circumstances. That's basically underlining what you said earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a human and we need to find them.
Yeah.
And we need, and people just...
And don't worry about the fallout.
Right. This, right.
Just find the person.
And here's the thing. People deserve this certainty. Do you know what it is to live with this unresolved? You do not know what has happened to your family member. It is... it's just... I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine. I got a loved one who's not here right now, and every 10 minutes I'm looking at my phone to see if they messaged me. It's just unfathomable, that feeling. And then to see that people aren't taking it seriously, that people aren't concerned. So I implore, I'm begging the Ministry of Tourism to partner with the U.S. Embassy, U.S. State Department to create and conduct search initiatives. Just let the public know what you need from us. Mm-hmm. But we need you to help organize the initiative. And then let us know, the public, what you need from us to bring resolution to try and find this person. So I found the ad in today's Tribune, Mr. Nuri. Help wanted. Cooks wanted for an Asian restaurant. Must have 5 years experience in Indian cooking with knowledge of Indian language and spices of North and South India. Apply in writing to the HR manager. The address is there. Yeah, I don't.
Knowledge. It didn't say you have to speak.
No, yeah. It does say knowledge of Indian language. So first of all,
if what you're is read
Indian?
It,
hold on. What is,
reading directions.
What is Indian language?
Well, I know what Indian language is because, you know, they speak so much different dialects and different languages in that one.
No, what I'm saying is I can understand why the caller
is concerned.
Is concerned.
Yes.
Because that seems odd. It's certainly not specific enough. Knowledge of Indian language. If you said knowledge of Indian languages and dialects, right? Or you say knowledge of Hindi and other languages, right? And spices of North and South India. Listen, let me show you something. That's like 7,599 and a half spices right there.
Yes, and that's why I think they ask them for it. They bring you a certain Indian spice and you can't pronounce the word or can identify it.
Three quarters of the people in India and 95% of the Indian diaspora cannot identify every single spice there is in India.
But with the spice they plan to be cooking with.
Which means that if they have to hire that person, me and you can never afford to eat that Nuri.
But you
and I protesting on that alone.
The good thing is you'll be eating authentic Indian food.
Where? I can't afford it. You can't afford it. You think you could have... Oh, wait, I forget. I can't afford it.
People invite me to eat.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
It's time for a break, sir?
It's time for a break.
Absolutely.
I'm one of those people on an Indian store on Bay Street want to invite me there to eat for free.
They have a restaurant in it?
Yeah, on the Parliament Street. Going towards the old post office. I've gone there for a while.
You may have to go there, Mr. Nguyen. Let's go to the break so we can hurry up and come back.
Yeah, man.
You're on Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The best athletes in the Bahamas will be on display at the B3A's Kids Athletics Invitational Junior and Senior National Championships June 26th to 28th at the original Thomas A. Robinson Track and Field Stadium. Stephen Gardner, Devin Charlton, Shawnee Miller-Weibo, and so many more. The juniors are vying for the opportunity to represent the Bahamas at the World Under-20 Championships, and the seniors are gunning to qualify for the Paris Olympic Games, which are fast approaching, and our athletes are looking to get on the road to Paris. The meet gets underway at 4 p.m. on Wednesday, June 26th, and Thursday, June 27th, and at 5 p.m. on Friday, June 28th. Gates open at 3 p.m. daily, and tickets can be purchased for as low as $20 at the original Thomas A. Robinson Track and Field Stadium. The B3A's Kids Athletics Invitational Junior and Senior National Championships, June 26th to 28th at the original Thomas A. Robinson Stadium. You don't want to miss this one.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM on the break. We were around about curry.
I mean, we were being chastised.
Yes. Wally came out of nowhere. I didn't know Wally still worked here. He came out of nowhere and said, "What do you know about Indian curry?"
Wally said,
"You
only
need to know how to speak the language."
He said, "You only know two type of curry, and that's red curry, yellow curry, and green curry."
I only taught curry. It's coming green. That actually shows that he was right.
And what you thinking about ain't even green curry.
Yeah.
You talking about Jamaican curry.
And I didn't even know they had pepper in curry, because I just said it's turmeric that makes the curry change color.
Apparently, but that's not what pepper. What does pepper do, Mr. Nuri?
I don't know. Wally's the Indian professional. What is it? Aficionado?
Aficionado.
Yeah, he's the aficionado.
Peppers make it hot.
What?
No, I spice.
I just get the thing and put the gold pepper and call it that.
No.
No?
Yeah, okay. See.
So you need to know how to speak. He needs to know how to speak Indian to sell curry. That's what it boils down to.
Let's go to the phone line.
Yeah, let's go to the phone line. Go ahead, caller. Welcome to Guided Radio AM with CNRE.
Good morning, man. Speak to Mr. Nuri, Ms. Green.
Good morning, man. You're live.
Oh, thank you. First of all, thank both of you. The topics of you have chosen this morning is so fantastic. But I would like to add something to it, if I may.
Yes, sir.
Ms. Green, you read the U.S. Embassy report that slapped the government left, right, and center, which is fantastic. The next thing, Ms. Nuri, is that in order to solve our problems, what we must do, first of all, from all our relevant agencies, we must form teams of 10 or more, immigration, customs, etc. But these are our border patrols, who would have the right to stop anybody, anywhere, anytime, and ask for an identification. If they don't do that, we would never have any idea of who is who in the country. And if we were to pursue that, we would then be able to apprehend and detain and deport. The second part of that is, you must say to the United States government, stop from sending persons back here because they say they are from here. That is not true. Another thing you face is we have a lot of persons here, particularly they hang out at the gyms. They are undocumented, and nothing is being done about them. These things we got to follow through. The next thing is, Ms. Green, Mr. Nuri, you spoke about the elections. But the way I see the elections, he has to go to battle. He is battling now. Mm-hmm. And I think by saying to his people, come in and sign the UPRP, that's an indication that where they must know who they are. And number three, the cherry on that will be, he will offer them 3-4 months payment to be a PLP.
Okay.
And there is another part of this crazy thing. is that misdemeanors have been dealt the ultimate authority. The PLP is so wicked that they will cause 400 of their bona fide party members to vote for Mr. Binnis in Kalani and defeat his challenger. And that way, Mr. Binnis will cross the floor because he wants to be PM again, and then he will ascend to the PLP.
Sir, I'd like to say thank you, because I was wondering if...
You may think it's a joke, but he is desperate. He wants to be prime minister again. And what a better way.
Right.
He will go in, he will cross the floor, and then he will assume government business in the House if they do not call an election, or if they do, or if they win, which they will not. My God, what else? And he'll be sitting right there. He has to clean up the Creoleism in the PLP that is saturated with people from down south. Even the iconic Bahamians within the PLP are terribly upset, and they must recognize Fred Mitchell sees the writing on the wall.
Thank you
very much for your time.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, sir.
I ain't gonna believe the senior PLP's upset until I see Minky Isaacs in long pants and sock and shoe. When I see him in long pants and sock and shoe, then I know.
They vex ratted.
absolutely. I like that idea, sir. I know we are out of time.
Mm-hmm.
I like that idea. Who could stop Cooper? I don't see anybody in the PLP trying.
You think Cooper could ascend to the throne?
I think Cooper trying to create a deputy prime minister to prime minister pipeline.
You think Davis will step down if he run and win the election again and let Cooper ascend?
Oh, no, this ain't a stepping down kind of down.
No, he can stay for the full term if he wins.
Yeah.
This has been
107 prime minister.
Old. This has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Of course, it's a Man Down Mashup Wednesday with Aaron Green. Have a wonderful day.
Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.